141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Please gamble responsibly.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Lee McCulloch and Kyle Lafferty have their say on the suspensions of former teammates Kenny Miller and Lee Wallace. Alan Stubbs looks ahead to Hibs Celtic and says it's still a big ask for Neil Lennon's side to finish second, and they may be champions, but Jack Ross isn't happy with St Mirren's dropped standards last night. I'm pleased to say I'm joined tonight by Jim Duffy and Mark Guidi.
I don't think we'll have a quiet night tonight, Gordon. The aftermath of the Old Firm fallout still going on. Kenny Miller, Lee Wallace, and of course Graham Murty. What does the future hold for him?
Yes, plenty to discuss indeed. If you want to take part, then the number you need is 0141 951 1025. You can tweet us as well, of course, at Clyde SSB, but keep the calls coming. So many of you have been trying to get in touch over the last couple of nights, so you know where we are. 0141 951 1025. Jim, as a manager, I'm sure you'll have watched with interest, as you do with all stories in Scottish football, big ones like this. What have you made of all this in the last couple of days?
Well, listen, there's probably not a manager in the country that hasn't had to deal with unhappy players, particularly players have either been substituted, players who have been left out the team, or a bad result or a bad performance. But it's the level, I think, seems to be the surprising aspect of this. It seems to have went right over the top from the players, and then the manager feels completely undermined. He felt as if he had to do something about it, go to the board, and obviously we've seen the what's happened since then. I appreciate, guys like Lee McCulloch and that, because listen, they were in that dressing room alongside the likes of Kenny and stuff like that, so it's maybe a wee bit difficult for them. They're not going to stick the burden of these guys, but I think the manager has to have authority. If the manager doesn't have authority, he is nothing, and the players know that. I think the only thing I would probably suggest is that, it just seems surprising these days. Not surprising, but it's just a little bit disappointing, I think, that so much seems to get out of a dress room. It used to be within the dress room, then that stayed in there. If you're unhappy, if there was voices raised, and sometimes there was more than voices raised, but, it stayed within the dress room. And I think that's, probably the disappointing thing. It seems to be played out in public.
Give us your insight then, Jim, and I guess you're speaking generally here rather than specifically on this incident. What type of thing crosses the line? Because I'm sure you've had players voice their opinion, if you want to call it that, question a couple of things. Where is the line for you?
Well, I think in the past, let's just say industrial language, I think that's the best way to describe it. Then in the heat of the moment, managers will say things, players will say things, but I think if there's an aggression in it, and I think that's when, generally speaking, and also, if the players are trying to undermine you in front of the other players, I think that's when you've got to draw the line. And as I said, to me, if you're unhappy about it, then, again, as I said before, listen, I've been in many a situation, both as a player. I mean, I've had arguments with managers when I was a player. But I think that you've got to have respect, and I think that's where you've got to understand that there's a line to be drawn. And I think, as I said, unfortunately in this particular case, it seems as if that line's been crossed. Everyone will have their views. Some will think, oh, the players are right, they're showing a bit of passion, they're showing a bit of fight and all these kind of things. But I think there's an element that you can't cross. And I think it seems to be, as I said, from the outside looking in, we don't know all the facts, of course, but it seems to be as if the manager had nowhere else to go but to suspend the players.
What have you made of all this, Mark?
Surprised by what's happened in the dressing room after it, but for me it's a bigger, this is just a small part of the bigger picture, Gordon, and Rangers really need to look at themselves as a football club. Where are they going? What's the plan? I keep coming back to, we've discussed it many times, Dave King's quote at the AGM, we won't really be, if you like, in the money and really moving forward until we get into the Champions League. Now really, Rangers, we keep peering, it'll take a couple of years for the gap to close, you need to give them time, and I accept that, but see the way it's going now, there is absolutely no way that Rangers are anywhere near being a title winning team over 38 games. They are years, and it's going to take a dramatic crash from Celtic and a bit of an upturn from Rangers. At the moment, you assess them as a football club, as a football team, and their nearest rivals just now are Hibs, Aberdeen and Kilmarnock. Out of the 9 games played against those three teams this season, Gordon, Rangers have won 4 and then against the nearest team. So again, I'll go back to it. I've said it for weeks and weeks and weeks. I think it's certainly the case now. It'll be confirmed sooner rather than later. Graham Murray will not be the manager. He shouldn't be, and I mean that with all respect to him. It's somebody bigger and better. Find as much money as you can and get the right guy. Now see if that means sacrificing Mark Allen's wage and doing my, I don't know why Rangers need a director of football. I have to be honest. You look at the signings in January, we all raved about them at the time. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. Look at them. Russell Martin, look at him on Sunday. Big game. Jason Cummings can't get into that team, can't get off the bench. Goss missing, can he make the 18? Jamie Murphy's been good, been good, been a solid signing. But you look at, actually say the recruitment in January, now that we've had 3 months to assess it, has been average at best.
Back to that managerial side of things, Jim, and this is where I suppose individual personalities come into it. Every manager's different, and I'm not just saying this because you're here. I think most people would agree, I can't really imagine any of the Morton players would undermine you, just knowing the way you go about your business. But how important is it that you establish that understanding early on?
Yeah, I think you do. But the thing is, football's a split second reaction. It's not about image, or somebody thinks if you portray an image, that image is exactly what it is. It's an image. It doesn't necessarily mean that's the way you are. I mean, people look at Graham Murty, might think, well, listen, you know, is he a guy that could control players or difficult players or these kind of things? No one knows it like he is within that dressing room. Yeah. He may well be the type of guy that publicly comes across calm, reflective on the game, you know, analytic, whatever you call it. But in the dressing room, he may well have that wee bit of steel that you need. It's getting that balance right. But as I said, players will have split second reactions. They don't look at you and think, oh, he might lose the plot here. It's they do it. It's just they don't deliberately do it. But when it does happen, it has to be hitting the head quickly, so as it, you know, it stops. You know, you can't let it escalate. And I think this is what seems to have happened. It's not just those two players. We know there was other players involved. Talk about, you know, instances in the tunnel and amongst other players. So the whole thing's escalated. And I think that's the difficulty, Gordon, that, you know, you can't as a manager allow it to escalate. One or two players start off, you say, listen, you know, enough, keep it quiet. One or two players are biting at each other. You go in and you go, calm it down, so be quiet. It's time for me to talk. And I think if the manager does that quickly, you know, puts it out, you know, the situation, diffuses the situation, then I think then it doesn't escalate and doesn't get to this stage. Rangers have got a kind of a double whammy here in the sense that, of course, publicly it looks very poor. But in Kenny Miller's situation, it was probably an easy decision because he's only a few weeks to go in his contract. He's 38 years of age. You probably think, well, it's time for Kenny to go. Lee Wallace is different because although he's been injured for the season, he is still, a player that you might command a fair bit of money for.
Club captain,
you know,
as well.
And club captain. So, you know, for him, you can't just say, well, you're gone, we're sacking you, because this is a business and Rangers can't afford to lose. So whatever kind of money they get, and then again, as I say, whatever new manager comes in now, because it looks likely to be one, he might turn around and say, no, I want Lee Wallace here. Then there's a real, you know, dilemma as well. So, and then does Graham Murray get back to his original role still at the club, you know, and, you know, how much face does he save doing that? So listen, there's so many things just now that will be difficult for Rangers, but what should have happened should have been a lid, should have been put on it straight away, not made sure it didn't escalate, kept it in the dressing room, and then dealt with as quietly and professionally as he possibly could.
0141 951 1025 to get in touch. James is in Hillington. Hi, James.
Hi, how you doing, guys?
Not bad, James. What are your thoughts tonight?
Guys, I totally agree with Mr. Jim Duffy there. These actions at which should be kept a lid on it. Now, senior players, now, I've ran 21 football all my days and at a good level. And we always told players, with derby matches, local derbies, local teams, no matter what happens in the park, win, lose or draw, we discuss it the next morning at training. On a Monday night at training, we'll discuss this. And we'll go through one by one and discuss it. No, after a game, it's bad enough getting hammered with a team that obviously your rivals, so that should have been told straight away with Mr. Murty, either before the game or after the game. No matter what happens, we'll discuss this at training the next morning. So senior players, and they must know that, so they've already made a fool of themselves on the park and then embarrassed the whole club after the game and what's happening just there. So, one, I'll blame Murty for that. You should stamp the lid on that before the game, not just at the end of the game. So I'd like to see what you think about that. And also, just a quick point regarding Rangers. People were saying before this game and the game previously, Rangers had sort of closed the gap and played a lot better this year than last year. Last year, I think Rangers lost nine games, I think, at this point last season. I think they've lost 10 so far this year. And we've still got the top 60 split. So how can we actually have been improved this year than last year? Now, everybody said we had improved before the last Celtic game, and no, it's a big dilemma for the world's worst, which we always have been. It wasn't that we get better this year, it was just that other teams caught up in us and Celtic didn't play as good this year. But I'd just like to see what you think about these 2 points, guys.
Yeah, your last point there, James, I think is, you know, quite pertinent in terms of, you know, there's been a dip from Celtic in the other three. And you look, you know, again, just going back to it, because I harp on about the manager should be the most important guy at the club and should be the biggest earner, etc., etc. Put your as much as you can into that. You look at Rangers and you look at the teams round about them. Rangers, again, with all respect to Murty, but they've got the least experienced manager there. You know, you look at Neil Lennon, Derek McInnes, Steve Clarke, and also Brendan Rodgers, streets and streets ahead. Graham Murty. You
Craig
look at
Levine
the budget.
As well.
Yeah, Craig Levine as well. Look at the budget. Rangers' budget. I mentioned the three clubs run about them. Hibs, Aberdeen, Kilmarnock have only beaten them 4 out of 9. Rangers have got a bigger budget than the three of those clubs put together. So there's money going into it, but it's not been used properly. And that's where there's been an incident in the dressing room after. And one thing I would defend Graham Murty on, because I think players get away with murder. Whether you think the manager's get his tactics right or his formation right, or whatever, that shouldn't stop you making the game a contest, making it a battle. You know, having the authority to go and make a wee tweak here and there yourself to have a bigger influence in the game. That really annoys me, that everything falls down on the mat. Yeah, I don't think Dave Murty should be the manager at Rangers, but on the park, that Rangers performance for 60 minutes or 55 minutes, 11-11, was an absolute disgrace.
Yeah, Matt, I think that, you know, a point that you made there was about the players. Players, you know, I've heard people saying, oh, they're not playing for the manager. Well, they should be playing for the jersey.
Exactly.
That's who they should be playing for. They play for Rangers. Mm-hmm. And so many of them are come out publicly, I'm a Rangers fan. Well, mm-hmm. if you're a Rangers fan, the one thing you show is fight. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, controlled fight. You know, not going about kicking people and elbowing people and stuff. But real aggression, determination, desire, commitment, all those type of things. And see, if you're not happy with the manager's tactics, then go to him before the game. See, I mean, I'm sure Graham Murty just didn't turn up on Sunday morning and go, right, we're going to play this way, guys. They would have looked at it, they would have assessed it, they would have went, you know, say, like, we're going to play a 4-1-4-1, whatever it is style he wants to play. We'll allow Celtic to have it in their half of the pitch, then we'll go and press them, whatever tactics. And if the players felt, wait a minute, we're not really that comfortable with that, then there's no problem. I mean, myself and any other manager, you've got no problem with your players coming and say, like, we're not really comfortable with that shape or that system. Now, the manager may well shoot them down in flames and say, well, listen, I'm playing that way, that's it, and go on with it. Mm-hmm. Fair enough. Yeah. But if you don't do that and then you only complain after the event,
yeah,
then that's when I think that the players are looking to pass the buck. Mm-hmm. But to me, if you're a Rangers player, as James said, if you're playing a derby, you know it, you know what's involved, and you know what's expected of you, then the very least you can have is that desire and commitment. And I think that, for me, if they start to blame the manager or blame the rapport with the manager and the players, then I think they're looking to pass the buck. They should play for the badge, they should play for the jersey. And if they do that, it shouldn't really matter who the manager is.
Thank you to James in Hillington. Mark and Giffnock's next up, but let's hear from former Rangers captain Lee McCulloch and what he makes of all this.
Aye, obviously very surprised. I don't think anybody could have seen that coming, but that's football. Tempers get frayed, and I've been in 100 different dressing rooms when things have been said and done and everybody's just got on with it. I think probably the most disappointing fact from what's happened in the aftermath of the game is how it's got out the dressing room so quick to the media. Yes, there was a couple of incidents at the weekend, and the individuals probably will not be happy with ourselves when they look back and how they acted. But it's an old firm game. Tensions are sky high, and until you're in that cauldron, that's the only really time you can relate to how you're feeling. I think Mr. King came out during the week and sort of alluded along the lines. I think the result obviously didn't help, and the manner of the result didn't help. It's just it's up to him to lift the players. It's up to the players to lift themselves and go out and salvage what's left of a disappointing season.
In a bigger picture, how do the Rangers get close to Celtic?
Be better, win games. It's simple. Show a bit more desire, and show a wee bit more togetherness, I think, in the changing room. It's not really a magic wand. I think there needs to be some players brought in, some players probably go, and fresh ones brought in, and that costs money, so there probably needs to be investment in the team.
Mark's in Giffnock. Hi, Mark.
Hi, panel. Mark Guidi, how are you?
Good, Mark. How you doing? I've spoke to you for a while.
I'm glad you're on. You're a good journalist. Do you still work for The Sun?
No, I don't, no.
Oh, right, okay. I was going to say well done, because The Sun broke the scoop about the Rangers, two players.
Yeah, it's a great story, yep.
So if you don't work for them, there we go. That's a meaningless
doesn't mean to say you can't congratulate them on a good story. I'm all for that.
Anyway, what do you make of this story, Mark?
Right, first of all, the story about the fights in the dressing room, I want to actually keep off that, because as much as it's a shambles, and a complete shambles, and hugely damaging for the club, the situation's far worse than that. It's far worse than some fights in the dressing room and suspension of two players. It's dire. The best word you can use to describe things is dire. I mean, by the hour, things are deteriorating. I can't believe, along with thousands of others, there's been no statement. That board should have addressed things on Monday. This is now Wednesday night. What on earth's going on? On Monday, it should have been addressed that Murty wouldn't be staying on to the end of the season, or staying on for five more games and then going. That needs to be addressed now. It's 2 days too late. That needs to be addressed. King needs to address the fact that he needs to stand down as chairman. Rangers need a chairman in this country that's going to deal hands-on with taking a challenge to Celtic. So King has got to stand down if he cares for the club. I cheered, spoke to him many times before he got into power, and cheered when he got in, and that board deserve great credit for the work they did to get rid of the spivs that were there before them. But now they're running the club into the ground. Stuart Robertson is a disaster. I don't think the signings the director of football has made have been poor at best. We don't have a manager. We don't have a captain. We don't have a chairman that's in this country. Things are drastic. And the fact there's been no statements, there's been nothing addressed. I'm not interested in Lee Wallace and Kenny Miller. Okay, I understand that's a big story for the media. You know, two players, two senior players, good professional players, suspended, probably sacked. But Rangers are on the brink here. Light years away from Celtic, as we keep saying, and the gap is bigger. Off the park is bigger. The board are not fit now to take this club forward. They perhaps were fit for the next stage of what we needed a couple of years ago, but now things are seriously on the brink, because it shows me that they don't understand the support. To not come out and to talk to the support and to say, right, Murty's away at the end of the season, guys, we're talking to our manager, we've had 9 months to find somebody to get in here, and they better find the money to pay him what Rodgers is on at Celtic. If they don't do that, forget signing new players. Pay the money and get a top manager in, and get a chairman in this country that actually lives in this country.
Tell you what, Mark, time is against me a little bit, but I do want to get your point answered, so I'll give Mark Guidi the chance to do that, if you don't mind.
Yeah, there's a number of good points. You know, Mark's echoed a lot of the things I said at the top of the programme. You know, I think it'd be worth looking at, you know, to get the best manager possible. Is it worth sacrificing the wage of Mark Allen? Because at this moment in time, I don't think Rangers really need a director of football. Or certainly if they do, it should be somebody, you know, that's on a low salary. Get everything you can, get it into being the best man. And in terms of, you know, not hearing from Dave, however, I'm surprised that you're actually surprised at that, Matt, because that's been the way it's been for a couple of years.
Okay, thanks to Mark in Giffnock. Keep the calls coming. Kyle Lafferty, of course, has been in that Rangers dressing room, and he had some interesting thoughts on the matter. We'll hear them after the travel with Amber.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com, backing Scottish football all season long. Please gamble responsibly.
Jim Duffy and Mark Guidi here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's show. And if you want to join us, give us a call. You can tweet as well. That's exactly what Stephen McGuigan has done. He says not enough leaders at Rangers. He thinks the experienced players have every right to stand up and voice their opinion, especially if it's better than what's going on in the pitch. But James Wright on the other side agree 100% with Jim Duffy. A manager has to manage. Players must respect the decisions whether or not they agree. I'm afraid Miller and Wallace have overstepped the mark. Well, Kyle Lafferty's hoping that they can get back into that Rangers squad. We'll hear his thoughts in just a second, but in the meantime, let's speak to Stephen, who is a Celtic fan in Paisley. Hi, Stephen.
Hi there, how are you, panel? I'm just phoning. I've been reading and listening to the panel and whatnot, and some of the things in the media in the last couple of days. And I think it's just been on and on about this thing with Graham Murty, which I actually think has been a disgrace. The players, what they've done to Graham Murty, because the guy's only there to do a job as a stand-in coach. But my point is that in the last couple of days, nobody's actually mentioned how well Celtic played on Sunday, because I thought that's one of the best performances I've seen Celtic in an Old Firm game in a long, long time. I thought we turned up, we played great football, but nobody's really actually says how well we played.
That is your chance, Stephen. You say it, and then we can discuss it.
I thought the other day there, I thought Big Dumbelli was absolutely outstanding. Olivier Cham was brilliant. Scott Brown never broke sweat. I thought Tierney was his usual brilliant self. But as I say, as a collective, the whole team were absolutely outstanding, but nobody's actually said it. It's all just been about this Graham Murty thing and the two players, I say, which I think is a disgrace what they've done to that poor guy. But as I said beforehand, nobody's gave Celtic credit, and I think Rangers in the next couple of weeks, so they'll be dreading going to Parkhead for the last league game of the season.
Stephen wants you to focus on Celtic, so yeah, on you go, take the floor.
I think, first of all, Stephen, this you know, video show is a platform for anybody who wants to phone up, so any Celtic fans that want to phone up and talk about the match and extol the virtues of their team, you know, absolutely, but just the way the world works, you know, we've had more callers regarding the Rangers situation, and that's the reason why we discuss it. As far as the performance was concerned, I thought Celtic were terrific. Obviously, I agree with you. I thought, you know, some top class players. One of them you didn't mention and I thought was outstanding was Callum McGregor. I thought he had a magnificent game. And, you know, and I think that, you know, in the midfield with McGregor, Cham and Brown, with Rogic just in front of him, absolutely dominated the game. And I always felt, I said that before the game, if Rangers go in there and they play with two players in there or whatever, then I think Celtic would dominate it, try to change it and try to play with a holding midfield player and players in front, and it just didn't work because Celtic's movement and creativity was just too good for them and too clever. You know, at times they were interchanging, sometimes Cham was coming short, Brown was moving forward one, McGregor was playing in little pockets, Rogic was just drifting into the front area, and no, I thought Celtic were absolutely terrific. I agree with you, but I think that after the game, you know, you've got to remember that you know, Celtic were comprehensive victors. I think it's up to Celtic fans and you know, the Celtic you know, staff and things, and I think they've done that, and I think they get due credit for that. But that's done and dusted, and Celtic will move forward. Whereas this story's still rumbling on about the Rangers players, and that's the reason why it's probably discussed a little bit more.
So how long do you think this will rumble on? Because I seem to think it's gone on for forever and a day, kind of thing.
Well, it's not really. It's been a few days, but it'll continue. But well, still discussions. I mean, Rangers are, whether you think or not, Rangers are a huge, huge club in Scottish football, and you know, they're big talking points. And this is a big talking point, you know, for Scottish football. You know, we talk about the game, but things that happen, whether it's boardroom level, whether it's you know, players level. I mean, there's been many, many instances over the years. You know, when things off the field take you know, get more headlines, if you want to see it, than things on the field, and that's the nature of the business.
Mark, what did you make of Celtic's performance then in terms of the big game players?
Yeah, terrific, and you know, Stephen makes a couple of great points. I think it just kind of goes to show sometimes that we all now kind of take Celtic for granted, which is unfair because they've got to go out and win the game. It's an Old Firm, it's a cup semi. Everybody's all back to back trebles. They're carrying that pressure. They were brilliant. And Scott Brown was absolutely fantastic. I mean, just dominated. A couple of Rangers players, I've tried to take him to task, if you like, and rightly so. That's where it's got to be. And you know, boof, hey, out my way, I'm the gaffer in here, I'll control this pitch. And he didn't for me. You know, Scott Brown has got to be a serious contender for player of the year. If it's not him or Chris Boyd, then I'll be absolutely flabbergasted. And it just goes to show you that players don't actually know what they're talking about or voting about if they don't vote for one of those two guys. But yeah, Celtic were terrific. They're now just two wins away from back-to-back trebles, and I give them enormous credit for that. You know, people can say the opposition's not a bit fine, but they've got that mental pressure, Jim, the ability going. What have they lost, Gordon? Was it two domestic games in,
yeah, two,
what, 20 months, 22 months? You think about it, you know, week in, week out. You know, we were all ranting and raving about Rangers a month ago because they put 7 or 8 games together. You know, we go and, but Celtic have done it over whatever it is now, you know, 100 games.
I think they just set fantastic. The standard so high that any little dip was perceived as, or there's a drop in standards. But you know, the mentality has always been there for Celtic. So no, I think you know, they do great credit for, you know, the levels of performance. I think again, once again, certain players have you know, came strong. You know, different times of the season for them. You know, the first say 2/3, James Forrest was immense. You know, and people talk about Sinclair not being quite at it. Dembele had a little spell with a dip, and then he's got better. As I mentioned, McGregor's got better. Brown's been unbelievably consistent right throughout the season. You know, young Ayer for me is improved time after time, week after week. Tierney's been immensely consistent. So they've had some fantastic performances, and you know, that's the reason why they won the league in a canter.
Thanks to Stephen and Paisley. Let's hear from Kyle Lafferty, former teammate, of course, both Kenny Miller and Lee Wallace. He is putting a lot of it down to them having the club's best interests at heart, and he hopes the players can find a route back into the squad.
Obviously, you hear people talk and you don't really know what's really happened, but knowing Kenny and knowing Lee and played with them, they're both born winners. And the Rangers guys, they want what's best for the club, and they're probably going to be disappointed for not playing. I'm sure the club has a reason for what the approach they've took to it, but I think that sort of thing needs to be stay within Rangers, and hopefully they can work it out, and hopefully they'll see Kenny in a Rangers shirt before he leaves.
That was Kyle Lafferty speaking to Sky Sports earlier on today. Jim Duffy, back to that then. I'm not necessarily expecting you to name names, but if you want, I'll accept it. I'm wondering if you can think of times then in your managerial career where the line has been crossed and you had to take action. Have you ever had anything that's even remotely comparable?
I mean, I've told people in the past, there was a big player called Noel Blake who was up at Dundee when I was there, and we played Clyde Bank before they went in the, you know, to the junior ranks, and James Grady gave him the runaround. And, you know, after the game, I went in, and Big Blakey, if anybody can remember him, was about 6'2". He was built like Anthony Joshua. You know, he just was a specimen of a man. And as I was berating him for getting the runaround, he used some colourful language, and then I reacted to it and kind of went towards him, and he kind of brushed me aside, should we say. So I kind of flew over to the other side of the dressing room, got up, went after him again. The players and I think it was John McCormick, Cowboy, was there at the time, kind of holding me off. And as I was doing that, he was then getting undressed to get into the shower. And then as he did that, I still went into the shower after him. I had the suit and that on, into the shower. Had a little bit of a rolling around, shall we say. And, you know, that ad flew off the handle. He flew off the handle. But, you know, it happened. Next day, Blakey came in. Apologise for telling me to where to go. I apologise to him for, you know, not having, you know, the discipline that I should have had as a manager. We resolved things. We became very good friends. You know, after it as well, when he left and things like that. And you know, we just moved on from there. But
have there been times then where whatever was said, you were unable to move on from, and then that player's time at the club ends?
Yeah, I mean, if there's players that have said things that completely, you know, as I say, you're out of order, then yeah, it might not be that particular moment, Gordon. You know, because again, you learn with experience, just to keep your counsel a little bit more, you take a little step back, and then you call the player into your office on the Monday, say, listen, that wasn't acceptable. You know, there's two choices here. You can stay, but you'll not be in the team, or you can move. And then 9 times out of 10, if not 10 times out of 10, the player will move. And that can happen. But as I said before, that there's, I mean, as Lee McCulloch had mentioned in his piece, it happens hundreds of times if you're in the game. Hundreds. There's voices raised, tempers frayed, players coming together, staff coming together. I remember wee Billy Dodds had a run-in with one of the directors at the time, Malcolm Reid, and he kind of threw a water bottle, a bit like the Sir Alec Ferguson thing, and it knocked Malcolm's glasses off. But Malcolm's a wee ex-ice hockey player, so he was a strong little guy, and he went for Dodgy, and we were all starting to laugh. We just thought this was funny, one of the directors and one of the players and things like that. But it was funny, but it didn't, you know, as I said, it didn't escalate. That's what I'm trying to say. This seems to have escalated, yeah. And sometimes with humour, or sometimes you can put, you know, you can put a stop to it. But listen, I could say without hesitation, as a player, I probably had several confrontations with managers, and as a manager I've had umpteen, and every manager will tell you. And just one little thing I'll say is, I was at John Lambie's funeral yesterday, and in so many stories about John, but the one thing about John did was, see, when there was an issue in the dressing room, he had senior players he trusted to sort it out. So, and I think that's something that Rangers seem to be missing just
well,
now.
Is that where the problem comes from? Because these guys are the senior players.
Yeah, but I think that if you need them in your side, so if Kenny's not,
I mean,
if Kenny's already, you would know he's not in the manager's side. You would know if Lee was on your side. You know these guys. So John, for instance, if I was at that time, I was there and I was captain, big Gordon Wee guys, he would come to me, and everybody knows about Chick and all these kind of stuff, Chick Charlie. So if it was an issue, he would say, go and sort that so-and-so Charlie out. Make sure you sort it out. And he would just stay out and let you go and sort it out. And he trusted you to, because he knew that you were pally with the players, and it was easier for the players to sometimes do that. So for his being issues, maybe Graham might have been, you know, as I said, maybe the fullness of time, he's a bit more experienced, he gets a few Graham Doan's on side or whoever else it is on side, and says, listen, if there's a couple of wee issues here, let's see if we can sort it out before it gets to the point where it's irretrievable.
Williams in Springburn. Hi, William.
Hi, how you doing, guys?
Fine, thanks.
Hi, William.
My point is, it stems right back to when the board brought in Pedro Caixinha. Usually managers go to Qatar, but it's a sort of retirement village for top-class managers just to build up the bench. But Rangers have went and brought in an unknown, brought back early, spent like $500,000 to bring him back. He came in, his recruitment policy wasn't the best, but I think the alarm bells rang from you when you hit behind the bush with the beat off the waiters and postman in the qualifying for Europe, and he's arguing with fans behind the bush. I found that embarrassing. I think Mark Weedy can answer this, being a journalist. I think he was coming across the journalist, he was a shyster. I don't think he came across them to be a bit of class, a bit of knowledge. And the Rangers board are going to be taking the task for that. And that's my point on that, because I know you've heard a lot of things about what's happened with the board, etc. And my point on Sunday is am I right in saying that Kenny Miller had an issue with Pedro Caixinha as well during the season?
Yes. Yeah, he did, yeah. He was suspended, pretty much suspended, or told to keep away.
Remember, he went to Brentford with the kids, the under-20s, didn't he?
Yeah.
There was a suggestion that they leaked the team, I think, to one of the games. I think
that's
the suggestion.
I think the Kenny Miller's point is, Kenny Miller's come to end his career, especially at Rangers, and I think that was just a frustrated player who maybe thought he could have brought some value. But I totally agree with Jim, and I think Mark Weedy said it as well. Rangers players are an absolute disgrace. Jim Murray has never coached men. He's been an under-18 manager, an under-20s manager, so he's been thrusted into a position. He's took it on. He's done relatively well up till Sunday. It's imploded. And you've probably seen a bit of his inexperience on Sunday. With the implosion round about after the game, during the game, etc. But players have got to take responsibility, and it's easy just to point the finger, but it all goes back to getting rid of Pedro Caixinha after a month. I know that sounds a bit cruel, but surely they've seen the warning signs with it.
Yeah, they should have got rid of Pedro Caixinha. You're absolutely right, I've said that before. They should have nipped that right in the bud and get shot of him there and then. The problem is, now we've moved on from Pedro Caixinha, however his legacy remains in terms of Peña and Alves and guys that are on, you know, whatever you want to say, somewhere between 25 and 35 grand a week, which, if you think about it, put that together, could get your right top manager, or could bring you in two or three really good players. So if they can't get those guys out the door, the new manager is going to be stuck with them.
That was William in Springburn. Why don't you give us a call? 0141 951 1025. Back on the phones after the travel with Amber.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Download the app and score a tap-in. Please gamble responsibly.
Mark Guidi and Jim Duffy here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's show. You can give us a call or you can send us a tweet. Paul Starr is on. Of course, a lot of the show has been dominated by the fallout from this Miller and Wallace suspension, but Paul talked about Callum McGregor, as Jim mentioned. He says, great all season, not given the credit he's due, plays well in all the big games, even at left back, left mid, right mid, centre mid, or off the front. If it wasn't for Brown, he would be up there for player of the year. Keep your thoughts coming into us. John is a Celtic fan in Provan Mill. Hi, John.
Hi, good evening, Gordon and panel.
Hello.
Hi, John. Hi, John.
All right, boys. What it is, I'm a bit like the previous Celtic fan, a couple of calls back there. I'll be honest, I'm listening to post-mortems about Rangers, how they never turned up, and everything else, right? Jim, yourself, your manager, you played the game at a high level, right? Mark Guidi, you know the score. Is Celtic not just far superior and just move on for this and stop greeting? Who's going to turn up at Park Eden in 2 weeks' time? Well, you bollocks. Take him into Park Eden and go, ah, there, she's that. We're going to walk in with Sword and Shields and all that carry on, and they're going to put a fight up. Is it not just, can you not just admit, we're just far superior, and you guys on the panel turn and say, look, to Rangers fans going in, I think at the end of the day, you're not just looking for excuses, your team never turned up, whatever. You're just not good enough. How do you not just get the bottle to say it?
The show doesn't last very long, John, if after 2 minutes I say, listen, Rangers fans, Celtic are better, so don't bother looking at the reasons what you can do better.
No, you've got to say it, you've got to tell the truth.
Well,
you've
The fact is, John,
Celtic are streets ahead, Gordon. Just tell them, look, do you want me to finish, Gordon, please? You just need to tell this Rangers fan, and you, in fact, you had a Rangers fan on, I don't think it was last night or the night before, a fantastic Rangers fan, guy knew stuff, a director of his own company, and he came on and has actually said to his fellow Rangers fans, you need to wake up, smell the coffee. Celtic are miles and miles ahead, right? You just need to realise we're not the same Rangers we used to be when we won 9 in a row, etc, etc, guys coming in like the Butchers and all that. Just accept it. Celtic are better, far superior, and I wish the panel would have the bottle to turn and tell them that instead of paper their cracks.
Do you think there's anyone, John, I'm wondering, do you think there's anyone on the show who doesn't think Celtic are better than Rangers?
We all know Celtic are better than Rangers, but we need to tell them. Don't tell them and say, I know, Halliday never taught them, they got to do this and do that. The guy was right, the previous callers was right, Celtic are just better, far superior. It's like turning and saying to Barcelona playing, say, or PSG hammered Celtic, remember that, didn't you? Well, see, at the end of the day, we don't go, by the way, Brendan, that's shocking. He never turned up and all that. But
well, John, you obviously weren't listening the nights after those games then.
I was listening.
Right, okay, I'm keen to get your point answered, John. I'm just having a bit of a laugh. So what about John's point that Celtic are better than Rangers?
Yeah, I mean, Celtic are better than Rangers, and we've said it many, many times on the show. You know, not just tonight, but because of this stuff surrounding Rangers. Over weeks, we always said that Rangers shouldn't be looking to challenge Celtic, you should be looking to finish second. And that, I think we've said that umpteen times. I know both myself and Matt have been on the programme many times saying that the first thing they've got to do is try and build something, try and take it, not try and chase closing Celtic, because Celtic are, you know, miles away in every department, not on the pitch, off the pitch, you know, from every aspect of it, financially, quality of staff, everything, the management, you know, there isn't any comparison at this moment in time. And I think most people realise that, but in any given one game, and this is what we're talking about here, one game. So we're talking about a semi-final at Hampden, and Rangers underperformed. Celtic played very well, and we've said that. We're miles the better side. But Rangers were definitely better than they showed, or are definitely better than they showed. And that's all we're trying to say. We're trying to analyse that one game, not over the course of the season or the course of the several seasons, because Celtic are miles better than everybody, including Rangers.
How are they better, Jim? How can you just have said they're better, but how are they better?
How Celtic are better?
No, how is Rangers better than they showed on Sunday? How are they better?
How are they better? Because the players can perform at a better level. The 3-2 game, for instance, Rangers performed a lot better. A lot better. The players performed better. The players, you know, were more up for the challenge. There was more competitiveness about them. They trying to press Celtic. There was more energy about them. Certain players played a lot better. They underperformed, but Celtic were terrific. We said that, you know, Celtic were miles better. And even if Rangers played their best and Celtic played their best, Celtic are still miles better. We're not saying anything to do with that. But on the day, there was, I'm struggling to think of any Rangers player who I think played anywhere near the level. Whereas in the last game, there was maybe a good 7 or 8 Rangers players played well.
0141 951 1025 to have your say. Thank you to John and Provan Mill. Tams in Clydebank. Hi, Tam.
Hello, guys. How we doing there? Hello, Jim. Hello, Mark. That was interesting listening to what you were saying there, Jim. That fella there, John, and all that. And that guy, John, has some good points there, I know. But talking about rate, I'm a Celtic, first and foremost, I'm a Celtic supporter, but I'm a football supporter, right? And over the piece here, listening to that guy John, it was just he hit a good few points there, right? But really, the problem here I see with Rangers is
it's not just a matter of getting rid of Graham Murray at the end of the season or trying to get a new player in or this or that or a better manager and this, that and the other. Seeing the British Isles, in the British Isles, players that play in the British Isles know all about Rangers, right? They know that they've been into administration more times than I've opened my fridge door, right? They've been doing their leagues, whatever. British-based players know, unless they're below a par where they're getting a lot less money with the club they're at and they manage to get an agent that does a wee bit of jiggery-pokery and gets them a move and gets them more money coming to Rangers, a half-decent player, they don't want to come to Rangers. They don't want to come to Rangers. If they've got other options, if they get something better out there, better money out there, or a better club, doesn't matter how big Rangers are, they don't want to come to Rangers. Because Rangers...
Tam, does that not just go for any player in the whole world, that if they've got a better offer than some club, they're not going to go?
Aye, but what I'm meaning is that, so what they end up doing is digging in like fourth, fifth rate players. See the Rangers team they know, right? They're just Patrick Thistle and Hamilton Accies players dressed up in Rangers strips. That's what the other now, right? And the problem with Rangers I see is a similar problem. What it was, in hindsight, looking back in the days of, before Wee Fergus came into Celtic Park, the problem is from the top of the house right to the bottom. The boardroom level, playing staff, backroom team, coaches, recruitment, youth development, it's the full Monty there, the full Booner that needs addressing. Not just, and Rangers supporters are thinking, all right, at the end of the season, we'll get a better manager in, we'll get this and we'll get that. There's no manager in the British Isles of any quality, any pedigree would touch the Rangers job unless they throw ridiculous money at them.
Tam, they might not be as good as Celtic, but if they're on the same level as the players at Partick Thistle and Hamilton Accies, how are they second in the league?
Well, okay, right. Good point, right. But let's face it. See, the way Celtic supporters, and you ask any Celtic supporter in Glasgow, Celtic supporters look at Rangers now. It's just, we're not playing Rangers anymore. We're just playing, Rangers now might be, aye, they're Rangers. They wear that strip. They play at Ibrox. But we just treat them like Hamilton Accies, Thistle, Ross County, Hearts. It's just another league game to us now. It's a wee bit more sweeter when Celtic beat them, without a doubt, right? But we look at them now, no threat, it's just like playing Thistle. The weekend there,
Tam. I don't think that's the case. You try and buy a ticket for that game, it's a wee bit different than trying to buy a ticket when you're trying to play Ross County or Partick Thistle. So the Celtic fans still see this as the main game of the season, Tam.
Beat the pundits with goals in the Scottish Sun. The SPFL and EPL latest every Monday, Wednesday and Saturday.
And it's 5 to 7. That means it's time for Beat the Pundit, where you come on 30 seconds head to head, as many questions right as you can for the chance to beat the pundit. If tonight is your night, then why not give us a call? 0141 951 1025, and you could play Beat the Pundit after the news.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Bet and play and pull a result out of the bag. Please gamble responsibly.
Jim Duffy and Mark Guidi are here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's show. We're going to hear from Alan Stubbs, who's very well placed, of course, to look ahead to Celtic's meeting with Hibs, being a former Celtic player and a former Hibs manager. So we're going to look more generally at this race for second we've got on our hands, hearing from Alan Stubbs after this.
Beat the pundits with goals in the Scottish Sun. The SPFL and EPL latest every Monday, Wednesday and Saturday.
It is indeed time for Beat the Pundit just after 7 o'clock. Let's meet tonight's contestant. John is a Celtic fan from Irvine. How are you, John?
Hiya, how's it going, Gordon?
Not too bad, how are you? Feeling
I'm good, thanks.
Confident Beat the Pundit mood this evening?
Well, the questions are only easy if you know them. That's how I see it, so.
Very true, very true. Just give you a word of warning. If you missed last night's Beat the Pundit, Mark Guidi, I said to so you know, why was Dumbarton Inverness postponed? And he said pass. And I said, look, give a guess. Why might a game be postponed? And he said car crash. So if you get any questions about games being postponed, John, just guess waterlogged pitch,
right,
or something to do with the pitch. That's all I'll say to you. Right, anyway, heads it is Mark Guidi, tails it's Jim Duffy that you're going to be up against. And it is actually tails. So Jim Duffy up against John from Irvine. Let's give Jim Duffy some Clyde 2 to listen to and get your clock up and running. John, it's 30 seconds head to head. You can pass. Here's your chance to beat the pundit, okay?
Okay, cheers.
Who got a double for Dundee United in their 5-0 win against Brechin last night?
Oh, pass.
Alex Ferguson managed St Mirren from 74 till when?
86.
Goalkeeper Alan Manis has announced he'll leave which club at the end of the season?
St Johnstone.
Which Scottish team do fictional characters Renton, Begbie, Spud and Sick Boy support?
Hibs.
Hearts have announced the signing of Uche Ikpizu from which English team?
Cambridge United.
Canadian side Vancouver Whitecaps are reportedly interested in signing which Motherwell player?
Oh, pass.
Okay. Right, let's bring Jim Duffy back. Jim, are you with us?
Yeah.
You are. Same set of questions to you. You ready?
Yep.
Who got a double for Dundee United
Scott
in their
McDonald.
5-0 thrashing of Brechin? Alex Ferguson managed St Mirren from 74 until when?
75.
Goalkeeper Alan Manis has announced he'll leave which club at the end
St.
of the season?
Johnston.
What Scottish team do fictional characters Renton, Begbie, Spud and Sick Boy support?
Hibs.
Hearts have announced the signing of Uche Ikpizu from which English team?
Cambridge United.
Canadian side Vancouver Whitecaps are reportedly interested in signing which Motherwell player?
Cedric Kipre.
And name either English side that Celtic faced en route to Seville?
Liverpool.
Okay. How are you feeling about that, John?
I think he might have just
pipped
me, to be honest.
Well, he got one more question in, but that doesn't necessarily mean he got it right. So let's go through them. Who got a double for Dundee United in their 5-0 thrashing of Brechin? It was Scott McDonald. So 1-0 to Jim Duffy. Alex Ferguson managed St Mirren from 74 until Mark Guidi, any idea?
77.
It was 78. So none of you got that right. Still 1-0 to Jim Duffy. You had a good wee run here, John, because Alan Manis has announced he'll leave St Johnstone, but Jim got it as well. So it's 2-1. It then went to 3-2 because you were up on your train spotting knowledge. Hibs, of course, the team of choice. So 3-2 after that. It then went 4-3. Uche Ikpizu signing from Hearts from Cambridge. And then that means the next one was going to be crucial. So Vancouver Whitecaps reportedly interested in signing which Motherwell player? It is Cedric Kipre. So 5-3 to Jim. And then he just went ahead and got Liverpool for the English sides that Celtic faced en route to Seville as well. You put up a good fight, John.
Oh well.
Jim Duffy just a bit too strong on the night. Hard lines.
Alright, cheers bud. Thank
good
you
man.
Very much.
Thanks John.
That was
Thanks.
John and Irvin. Beat the Pundit back at the same time tomorrow night if you fancy giving it a go. Right, we are going to hear from Alan Stubbs, and I want this is open to fans of all clubs because everyone's got an opinion on it. I want to hear your thoughts on this sort of race for second, particularly because it's been an incredibly difficult few days for Rangers. But let's not forget, Aberdeen didn't have too good a time of it either at the weekend. So how's it all shaping up? 0141 951 1025. Let's speak to Kevin in Croftfoot. Hi, Kevin.
Evening, lads.
Hi, Kevin.
Hello.
How are you doing? It's just really about the game on Sunday. I was at the game. Thought Celtic were good, but I thought that's probably the poorest Rangers team I think I've ever seen since 2012. I don't think, I mean, they're not even a challenge to Celtic anymore. It's like the guys that it was on earlier on. It's just another game for us. It's just another game towards a final. It's another 3 points when we play them now. Let's just see what you think of it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the Celtic still want to beat Rangers, but, you know, I thought that when Celtic beat Rangers 2-0 at Ibrox back in September when Pedro Caixinha was the manager, and again, I don't want you to take any away for Celtic, they've got to win the game, but we're talking about the levels of performance from Rangers. That was the worst Rangers performance I can recall in an Old Firm game. You know, but again, just a lack of bite, lack of tackles. You know, I think if Celtic wanted to win 4 or 5-0 that day, they could have. They took their foot off the gas. But fast forward to the first 50 or 60 minutes when it's 11v11 and you're expecting a proper contest, then I thought Rangers were every bit as bad, if not worse, than they were back in September. And I never ever thought I would see a Rangers game produce, a Rangers team produce such an inept performance as I did back in September. But they certainly matched it and then some, I think, on Sunday afternoon. And it's alarming, you know. We keep talking about Rangers putting a challenge into Celtic, a chip, but you know what? They are miles and miles and miles and miles and miles away from it. Over 38 games, it is about trying to be second. That's where the competition is at this moment in time for Rangers, and only Rangers club, from the boardroom down to the dressing room, can change that perception and change that for real. Because all we do is talk about it, but actually when you examine it, there is absolutely no substance. There's no credibility for anybody who says that Rangers are serious title challengers, because they're not.
Kevin, what about Jim Duffy's point from just before the news? I'm not sure if you heard it, so you might be talking about the sort of footballing argument, if you like. Jim Duffy making the point that the ticket sales or the demand for tickets when you play Rangers shows that Celtic fans do not treat it like any other game?
Well, it's not just the fans, it's the players. I don't think there's a fear factor with Rangers anymore. I mean, Rangers' aim should be a top six finish. Let's face it. They're not a force anymore.
Yeah, but they do have the second biggest budget, and that's why they're obviously going to aim higher than just top six, surely.
But the second biggest budget, what does that count for?
Well, they're second at the moment, and you're telling us how bad they are, so it clearly counts
well,
for a little bit.
Well, everybody knows how bad they are.
But that's what, I know, but that's what I'm saying, and in a sense I'm agreeing with you. You're listing off their troubles, but they're still second, so they're clearly not going to aim for just top six, are they?
Well, I think just a top six finish would suit them. I don't think they're any better than that.
But they're second, that's my point, of course they are.
The thing is, Kevin, I mean, if you're a Celtic fan, understand the gulf is huge just now, and there isn't a competition in Scottish football. Forgetting the fact Rangers, Celtic have actually more difficult games against Hibernian this year than they have against Rangers. But for people who are not, you know, associated to one club or don't, you know, follow one club, the good of the game, we need more competition. We need teams who perform better, who play better, so that there's a more competitive competition. That's not Celtic's fault. Celtic are miles better and will continue to be over the next few seasons. But everyone else has to raise their game a little bit, including Rangers. But we said Aberdeen probably get away with it a wee bit at the weekend, because there was hardly any talk when they were comprehensively beaten by Motherwell.
Saturday night there was, and then
Motherwell probably didn't get as much credit as they would normally have got, because after the weekend the Old Firm game was on the Sunday, and Motherwell probably are sitting, if I'm Stevie Robinson and I'm his players, I'm thinking, I mean, we beat Aberdeen 3-0, you'd be in the final, and you know, there's hardly been a word said about it. So there's a lot of other clubs who have improved. Kilmarnock, what a season. Stevie Clark, Neil Lennon, what a job at Hibs. So a lot of clubs have improved, but it seems to be that people only want to talk about Rangers, and rather than the fact is that other clubs, as I said, notably Hibs, Kilmarnock and Motherwell, have improved for me. And if we can get a stronger competition, then that'll help Rangers as well, actually, because Rangers know that if they don't raise their game, then they might well be struggling to finish in the top two, the top four. So they need to improve as well. So we're talking in general terms. Celtic Rangers fans can obviously have their little bit of banter between each other, but at this moment in time there isn't a competition, we understand that.
Let's assess the bigger picture at the top and hear from Alan Stubbs. He says he expects Celtic to clinch the league at the weekend when they take on another of his former clubs, Hibs. The former Easter Road boss is applauding the work done by Neil Lennon this season, but says it is still a big ask for them to finish above Rangers and Aberdeen.
Well, they have an opportunity to clinch it on Saturday. I think it's going to be a real open and exciting game because of what's happened. I think Neil will want his team to play the way they can. I think Brendan has a style which is the same all the time. You know, he'll go and try and express himself and dominate the game with his players. And they do have better players. But there is an element to me that thinks that they would like to do in front of their own fans. And we know what the following game is. So there's an element of, but that's probably me looking beyond and thinking, you know, a sadistic side where people, you know, look at it. But knowing Brendan and the players, they'll be professional, you know. The one thing that you can't label against this Celtic team is that whenever there's a big game, they turn up and they perform and they get the job done. They'll be wanting to get the job done on Saturday, I would have thought. No, Neil and the competitiveness that he has, he won't want that to happen on Saturday. Neil will be focused purely on trying to make sure Hibs continue in their consistency of their performances, which they have done. Knowing him, he'll deep down wanting to be finished second, but I think he's realistically that it's going to be a big challenge for him to still finish second.
Right, after a big weekend of cup action, let's remind ourselves of the situation. So Hibs are 3 points behind Aberdeen and Rangers, who are level in points. If you go over, say, the last six league games, you know, as a sort of rough form guide, Hibs are the best of the three over that period. How do you see it then, Jim? Because we've now got this brilliant situation where they're all playing each other, and of course that comes into it as well.
Yeah, I mean, there's obviously the controversy about the split, but we've had it for years, so I don't really get where the controversy comes from. But, you know, from Hibernian's point of view, for an outstanding season, you know, although they want to finish second, absolutely, no doubt about that. It might not do them any harm to finish third, to say, because if you set yourself such a high standard, then, you know, even Hibs are saying, right, we want to try and improve in that. But I think that I can see Hibs finishing second. I can, because I think, as you said, they seem to have the bit between their teeth. I think that Aberdeen hit a wee dip, and obviously they're going to lose like Kenny McLean and stuff like that, and Derek's already said he wants to recruit more players in the summer, so they might be thinking about moving. Rangers, as we know, are just in a real difficult situation just now. So I think Hibernian could finish second, regardless of what happens against Celtic at the weekend. I actually don't see them losing that game, because I think that, as I said, they played against Celtic well against Celtic every time. So I can't really, I see Hibs finishing second, because I think they will finish strongly.
Mark Guidi, it's certainly going to be a cracking running. There's no doubt about that. But because of the way we react to these big results, you would be forgiven for thinking that Aberdeen and Rangers have no chance of finishing second, both of them, because they had such a disappointing weekend. But the reality of it is they're both still very well placed, and there's a lot to play for.
Well, certainly, the pressure's on one of them to finish second, I would say, more so than Hibs. I think, if Hibs had to finish second, it'd be a major bonus. Albeit, I'm sure in the Hibs dressing room, and for Neil Lennon, that he will be expecting to finish second. But for Rangers, budgets have been mentioned a few times now. If you look at the budget, and that's where the Rangers board deserve credit for the past 12 months, they absolutely backed Pedro Caixinha with some huge wages for players. It's backfired on them, but at the time, they gave him a good budget, and they provided extra funds to recruit four or five new faces as well in January, as we mentioned earlier. I think we all raved about it, but now in reflection, it's not been particularly good. So the board have backed it there, and therefore they have, if you're a Rangers board member, they should expect their club to finish second. If you're a Rangers player, you should be having that bit about you as well. But the Aberdeen one's really interesting for me, what happens over the next five games there, to see how they react, because Derek McInnes didn't miss his players on Saturday afternoon, as we heard on Super Scoreboard. So as you say though, the split's brilliant, all kicks off on Saturday. But yeah, that race for second is really intriguing.
Hibs is on Twitter, says Hibs are going well in the race for second, but Scott Allen is a big miss for Saturday. So we'll keep an eye on that one. On the phone line, Scott is a Rangers fan in Dumbarton. So Scott, just in terms of this race for second, did the result at the weekend change your confidence levels for Rangers potentially finishing second?
Well, my point is not necessarily the lead position. It's a mouth game. If you're neutral watching the Old Firm game, you go, right, if one team got a chance, one chance of silver, and the other team is going for a treble, you'd have thought the Celtic team were going last chance to win. But Rangers went out of the Scottish Cup on a whimper, and every Rangers fan is so disappointed. They really never laid a glove on Celtic. In the second place, right now, after that capitulation on Sunday, will be a consolation, but a small one. But I'll tell you right now, Gordon, I read the paper yesterday and I bought a paper today, and Miller and Wallace are going to hung out to dry. My point tonight is, they showed, I don't know, I was an interesting, but I'll tell you right now, see after that performance, I went through a few players and the manager as well. And never mind coming out in the press and sticking up and going, if I was in Graham Murray, I'd have my jacket on, jumped in my car, went home. It was embarrassing. It really was. And what did the panel think?
Yeah. Well, obviously, I mean, from a manager's point of view, Scott, then the manager has to have complete authority, and the players have to respect the decision. As I mentioned earlier on, if leading up to the game they're not maybe happy with either team selection, or if they're not happy with the tactics, then they can go before and say, listen, we're not too happy about this. If the manager then decides, listen, where we're going, then they understand it from there. But there's still, as I said before, there's a line you can't cross, and you can confront and you can have verbals, but you cannot undermine the manager in front of all the players, or else the manager has got nowhere else to go.
There's no respect for him then, obviously.
Yeah, exactly, that's what I'm saying. But the manager, you can dislike a manager, you can disagree with a manager, but if you have to respect him at that time, and again, if they're not happy with that, listen, the emotions run high, it's a huge game, as you said, huge disappointment in the performance, didn't lay a glove on Celtic, I agree with you 100%, you know, everyone have an opinion on who should play and the style they should play. But ultimately, as I said to you, if the players completely undermine the manager, then the manager has to show authority, has to show strength and say, listen, this is unacceptable and these are the consequences. I say, we don't know the ins and outs. We're only getting third-hand information. So we don't know quite what was said. But as I said, you know, after, you know, what's come out, then for me, if Kenny Miller or Lee Wallace wants to have a future at Rangers, any kind of future, then I think they should come out and say, listen, you know, we regret what we said. We understand that Rangers is more important than us as individuals. And therefore, you know, we can apologise for it. And if they did that, then there may be some, you know, some way of turning around the situation. But either way, Hearts at the weekend is a massive game for Rangers now. What type of response do they have? If Rangers players have anything about them at all, they'll roll the sleeves up and they'll show the fans that they care. And I think that's the most important thing, regardless of who the manager is, regardless of whether Graham Murray is going to be there or not. The players have to show a response to the supporters.
Final word to you, Scott.
Well, I'll just say, how many entities do you think will be on Sunday? Oh, many. You know what I mean?
Well,
I think I've got
one thing about the Rangers fans that comes to Ibrox, and well, one thing that I don't think you can accuse the Rangers fans of is turning their back or you know, not being there. You know, they've been there pretty much to a man, woman and child over the past number of years, over the various circumstances. So I think on the weekend, Ibrox, pretty much as usual, will be packed to their afters, because there has to be a bit of unity now. Supporters, dressing room, boardroom, the lot. If you want to finish second and you want to emerge with some kind of credibility this season, for a number of people, for a number of different reasons, you've got to finish second, and it starts on Sunday.
We're going to talk championship, and after this we're going to have the full time teaser. That's when you send a question into us and we try and catch the guys out. If you've got any good questions, one that you've maybe heard, one that's been sent to you, why not send it to us, fulltime@clyde1.com. Jim Duffy shows a certain level of disdain at certain types of questions, and he's going to give me the Duffy stare when I read this one out. You don't want to miss it. Stares don't work on radio, but you'll enjoy it nevertheless. That's coming next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com, backing Scottish football all season long. Please gamble responsibly.
Jim Duffy and Mark Guidi here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's show, and it's time for the full time teaser. If you've got any good questions that you'd like to hear read out on the show, fire them over. fulltime@clyde1.com. I think this is another Martin Burns question. Martin sends some very good questions into us. Right, we're only looking for 8 players. That's the good news. That's the good news, right?
Okay.
Honestly, I just know how Jim Duffy's going to react to this. Which 8 players with the word van in their names have won the English Premier League? Which 8 players with the word van in their names have won the English Premier League?
Okay, Robin Van Persie.
Yes.
He has indeed, yes. Good start, certainly. It's only really a good start if you follow up with something else.
Well, I'm going to throw one in.
Freddie Van Der Hoorn.
I suppose it'll be English Prem. I suppose it'll be one or two that are maybe just qualified for a medal. So I'll throw in maybe from his Chelsea days, Patrick Van Aanholt.
Nope.
Right, okay. Right.
See, Mark Guidi's actually trying psychoanalysis of the question. He thinks there must have been a recent player to do it, and that's why we've asked. But you never know. All right, keep the guesses coming then. You can join in on Twitter at Clyde SSB. 8 players with the word van in their names who've won the English Premier League. Keep the guesses coming. I'm going to look at the championship, but let's speak to John, who's a Rangers fan in Parkhead first.
Sorry.
Quick, one more guess.
Does Ivanovic count?
Yes,
Van.
Right,
does.
Ivanovic. Okay.
Because Van is in there. Right, John's in Parkhead. Hi, John.
Hi, Gordon, Jim and Mark.
Hello, John.
Hi, John.
Just a couple of points. I've probably got a million points, but just 2 points. Also, Mark said at the start of the show about now there'd been unrest. I'm led to believe there's been total unrest in that Rangers dressing room for quite some time now. And I think on Sunday it just came to a boil. I've been told a few things since, I mean, but I've got a second point obviously for Mark, but Jim, as a manager, see the Andy Halliday, the Andy Halliday thing.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was totally shocking what he'd done to Andy Halliday.
Mm-hmm.
Totally shocking.
Yeah, that's not actually come up tonight, Jim. What's your personal managerial view on those types of things?
Yeah.
Have you done it before?
Yeah, you can sub players early, yeah. But I think there was a, I've said before, Rangers were 1-0 down, right? And you can either say he's realised Graham Murty that's not working, or he's made a mistake. There's that, where side you go on. But either way, he was going to change it at 1-0. And Celtic then scored to make it 2-0. And there's only a few minutes to go. And I think he'd already made his mind up to make the substitution. In hindsight, I think he might have been better then just taking a little step back, then saying, let's leave it till half time. And then do it in the dressing room. If he was still going to continue, just say to Windass, listen, wait a minute, we're just going to hold fire a little bit. But he was going to make the substitution at 1-0. And at 1-0, it probably was, whether it was Andy Halliday to come off, but whatever substitution, probably the right thing to do, because they were 1-0, they were still strictly in the game, you know, at that time. But at 2-0, it was game over, more or less. So I think that the timing wasn't ideal. But managers don't do things to embarrass players, to humiliate players. They do it because they think it's the right thing to do to try and affect the game, to try and help the team. And then if it doesn't work out, which it didn't, and then you've the whole spotlight on what happens after it, then, you know, it's kind of exaggerated, everything. But
what's the earliest you've hooked somebody who has not been injured?
20 minutes, 15, 20 yeah. minutes. Yeah.
Doesn't go down well, I can't imagine.
I wouldn't think so, no.
What was your second point, John?
Hi, say Mark. Yeah, Mark, how are you doing?
Hello there, John.
Mark, I've been talking to you for nearly the best part of 5 or 6 years, I mean. And,
yep.
I just wanted, just also the unrest thing, but I was talking to somebody Sunday at half time, and I just, you were talking about the manager, maybe the next manager at Ibrox, and somebody was telling me that, I don't know if this is true, Mark, maybe you know more than me, but the guy tells me he's generally spot on that Sean Dyche has been kind of sounded out. I'm not saying he's going to be the next manager. They're talking about the Burnley manager.
Uh-huh,
I know
yeah.
people are shouting and bawling us, but I know this year he's got a wee chance of maybe getting into the Europa League. So I think Burnley have been
seventh. They're only two
seventh,
points behind Arsenal.
But apart from that, Martin, I mean, I think that'd be a great challenge for that guy. I'm not saying what I was told on Sunday at half-time at the game,
right.
But there's been a wee kind of soundbite, so I don't know if you've heard nothing.
No, I mean, I've heard a few names, John, but no, Sean Dyche, I have to say, is a new one. I would never rule anything out. The only thing is, I'd be, you know, tempting a guy from the English Premiership.
I mean,
you know,
he's potentially going to be the English Premier League Manager of the Year, or he's in the discussion.
Big ask. I don't know for sure.
Right.
But I'm guessing, you know, Sean Dyche will be on minimum £40,000 a week with fantastic bonus money. That said, I believe that's the kind of figure that Rangers should be looking to pay for their next manager. If you can give Alves and Peña £30,000 a week each, then my God, you should be able to find 40 for your manager at least. So they've got to be looking at that kind of level. But I don't think it'll be Sean Dyche. But then if you're Sean Dyche, you might be looking at it, John, and thinking, okay, I've been at Burnley 4 or 5 years now. What more can I do? The challenge of Rangers, what's the ambitions of the club? Up to Glasgow, look what Brendan Rodgers has managed to achieve. Look before him at you know, Martin O'Neill coming up for down the road, and Gordon
compensation
Stratton.
As well.
Is it not different? I'm sorry,
because I'm thinking million.
About, aye, Jim, you know what? I never even thought of the compensation. But that fact as well, I never thought of that. But
and his
overall,
stock is very much,
so.
You know, his stock's on the rise, Jim. Brendan Rodgers is obviously a very experienced manager and has done a number of good jobs, but he was out of work.
Yeah, he was
you know,
out of work, yeah.
Sean Dyche is a guy who's been spoken about, you know, well, it was the Everton thing in the summer. You're even hearing, future England manager
for
and all
him,
the rest
though.
Of it.
He's been spoken about Leicester, Everton, but it's actually never happened beyond spoken about. So listen, I'm not saying, I don't know if John's just
I
brought it up.
I think the Everton thing might come up again. Obviously you've seen recently the situation regarding you know, Sam Allardyce and stuff like that there, and there's a lot of talk about that might you know, but the thing is, I think that, you know, Rangers need that type of manager, that level of manager, and it will be expensive. If he's out of job, then fine, but if he's not, then, you know, it's going to cost an awful lot of money in compensation plus the salary. But that's the risk that they're going to have to take. And, you know, they've been down a route already a couple of occasions, and it hasn't, you know, they've had, in the last three managers, Matt Warburton, Pedro Cachina and Graham Murty, and it's not been successful for them to the level where they'd like it to be. So I think they really have to just take a deep breath, and then if they're going to gamble, that's the first thing. I'm with Mark, the top guy comes in, because yeah, you might not have the budget to compete with Celtic, you might not have the quality of players, but we've just seen with likes of Stevie Clark, if you're a good manager, that you can improve players. And the first thing to do is improve the players you have, improve the standards set for Rangers. And then as you grow, you can then perhaps start to add that quality when the finance allows you.
You mentioned Stevie Clark there, Jim. I personally think that's the man that they'll go for. That's who I think they'll go for.
Okay, thank you to John in Parkhead. Let's look at the Championship. St Mirren manager Jack Ross says his side's performance in the 2-1 loss to Falkirk last night was unacceptable. They conceded two late goals, seven changes from the side that won the title against Livingston on Saturday, but he says that is not an excuse for letting standards slip.
No, I'm not happy, to be honest. I think that I don't care if it's a circumstances of the game and team selection. We're 1-0 up with 6 minutes to go, we shouldn't lose the game. So, no, it never changes. It should never change in terms of the mentality of the club. And we've come a long way in that mentality in a long period of time. In a short period of time, and we made big advances that way. But you've still got to improve on it. I include myself in that. But how we do it as a whole club, you know, we can't all of a sudden accept that losing at home is okay in those circumstances. So, no, the players are disappointed. They should be, because we have set standards far higher than that in terms of how we do things. And just because you win a league, they shouldn't drop. I mean, I don't think there's an awful lot in the game. I mean, I don't think necessarily we deserve to lose the game, but we have done. No, I don't think it's a worry for, you know, for Gassi. It's one game after we've just won the league on Saturday. So what I think it is a last 10 minutes, it isn't good enough, regardless of whether it's the first game of the season or the third last game of the season. So it's about making sure that everything you do it properly every single time. And as I said, that mentality we've created here within the training ground, within the match day, more often than not. But until we do it every single time, then I wouldn't be satisfied.
It's wrapped up at the top, and last night's results confirm it's wrapped up at the bottom as well. So Brechin are obviously going straight down. Dumbarton are in the relegation playoffs. Jim Duffy, you certainly don't need me to tell you, your Morton side have got a heck of a task to try and sneak into that playoffs. I mean, do you still just give it everything and see how it pans out? Points, two games to go.
Well, I mean, we didn't give it everything in Saturday, and that's the bitterly disappointing thing from our point of view. You know, we're talking here, I'm talking about other teams and stuff like that, but my own team totally underperformed on Saturday when we had an opportunity to keep the pressure on the teams above us, and we took the pressure off them. So, and obviously then the DNA to go and win. I mean, you expect them to beat Brechin, no disrespect, but you expect it to happen. You know, for me, all you can do is put in a performance and show people that you know, that we're better than we showed last week. I mean, we fought tooth and nail. We got a last minute winner against Dumbarton in midweek, and then we just seemed so flat and so off the pace on Saturday. So we've no excuses. But listen, we're playing St Mirren, who rightfully won the league. Jack, as I said, there will be, you know, listen, in reflection, You'll understand that you know, it's over the course of the season his team has been superb, but I'm sure that you know, there'll be a few want to get it right on Saturday. And I think that you left out likes of McGuinness, Morgan, Smith, guys like that. I'm pretty sure they'll come back in again at the weekend, and he knows that there'll be a competitive edge to the game. So yeah, it's a good game for us in the sense that, you know, it's not a meaningless fixture. You know, the game is something to, you know, where Derby, you know, you've got those that edge required for that kind of game, and the players know that if they don't have that, then St Mirren, like they've done with most teams this season, can capitalise on that. So I'm looking forward to the game, because it is a good game to be involved in. Obviously they're getting presented with a trophy, so I'm sure there'll be a few extra St Mirren fans there as well. So I'll add a bit of atmosphere to the game. And if you're getting about you at all, these are the kind of games you want to be involved in.
Well, David Healy's on Twitter. He says, can you please ask Jim if his team will do the right thing on Saturday and give St Mirren a guard of honour? They did get one. They got one last night though, didn't they?
Yeah, if it's protocol to do it, I've got no problem do it. But how many games do you do it? So do you do it for the next umpteen games? I really don't know. If it's protocol, I'm more than happy to congratulate and give a guard of honour. If it's not protocol, then I won't be doing it.
Falkirk players did do it last night, David. I don't know if that answers your question or not. Keep the calls coming. Ryan is in the Gorbals. Hi, Ryan.
Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hi, Ryan.
It's just a point regarding the next possible Rangers manager. If we keep going the way we're going, we could possibly finish third, worst case scenario, even fourth. So
we need, first of all, to try and finish second, because we need to try and attract a high calibre of manager, I think, like somebody like De Boer or somebody low end of the Premier League, maybe somebody that might lose a job like Mark Hughes or something come the summer. But if we finish third, fourth, do you reckon we're still going to try and get that kind of calibre of manager?
Yeah, because there won't be a huge, you know, if anything, it then increases the need to go and get a high calibre manager. And look, and for me, it's the same with the player. You know, it doesn't need to be a big name. You know, obviously there's a sexiness attracted to Frank De Boer, and he played for the club. He was terrific in his 6 months there under Alec McLeish. But you know, it doesn't need to be a sexy name, as long as a guy's got substance to him, as long as he's got some kind of record. It can't be a rookie. It's got to be someone that came in and knows his stuff. But who it's going to be, it'll be interesting. But whether it Rangers finish second, third or fourth, the demand and necessity is there to go and get the best they possibly can.
Ryan?
Just getting back onto the De Boer thing, I mean, I think he's got a kind of lot of making up to do. His last two jobs, obviously down the Premiership, over in Milan, but what he done with Ajax, and he's not feared to bring youth players through. I think Rangers have got a couple of good youth players in there that could probably get a game in after that performance at the weekend. I'd be hooting players like Halliday, Dorans even. The midfield were invisible. I'd be just throwing the young boys in and saying, right, well, give them a go, because we need to do something.
Okay,
he's trying a leg.
Sorry, Ryan. Yeah, thank you to Ryan and the Gorbals. I do want to try and get some more answers to the teaser just before I move on. So we're looking for 8 players with the word Van in their names who've won the English Premier League. So you've already got Robin van Persie.
Who's the goalie that played for Man U?
I've got Ramon van der Hout.
Well done, a team effort. Cross from Jim Duffy, finish from Mark Guidi. Yep.
And his teammate Ruud van Nistelrooy.
Yes.
Right, that's me.
So you've got Robin van Persie, Branislav Ivanovic, Raymond van der Hout, and Ruud van Nistelrooy.
It must be a Leicester.
Some really good efforts coming in on Twitter. So we'll get the answers to the teaser next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Download the app and score a tap-in. Please gamble responsibly.
Jim Duffy and Mark Guidi are here in the final part of tonight's show. They're going through this teaser and they're doing okay. We're looking for 8 players with the word Van in their names who've won the English Premier League. Some of you out there are very clever on Twitter and you've absolutely scooshed this. But we've already got Robin van Persie, Branislav Ivanovic, Raymond van der Hout and Ruud van Nistelrooy. What I told the guys during the break is that they're missing 2, which are definitely easy, right? And in particular, if you've got Raymond van der Hout, I can't believe you've not got this other guy.
Right, so it's almost like something van der...
Goalie.
That's what I'm thinking. I say the other Dutch goalkeeper that played.
Big Edwin van der Sar. My goodness, brilliant.
My goodness, indeed. Big Edwin van der Sar. Right, so this has got 5 of the 8.
Right.
And the only other clue I'll give you is that of the three that are remaining, you're missing another obvious Dutchman called Van, right?
Right, I think we have one other one.
But then the remaining two.
Sylvain Viltord.
No. But the remaining two are quite tricky.
Is it Van in his name?
I don't know if it's maybe spelled with an I or something.
Yeah, it's spelled something.
Let's all spell
it. You're missing another obvious.
Is it a Chelsea?
It's not Chelsea. Okay. It's a London club. Dutchman Van in his name. This is an easy one. Other two are hard. Okay. Let's speak to Alec in Parkhead. Hi, Alec.
Hi, lads. How are we doing?
Fine, thanks.
Obviously, we all had a commotion at Hamden at the weekend regards with Rangers and whatever else. I think that, you know, the Celtic and Motherwell Cup final, the last game of the season, I think it's going to be a cracker. Obviously, Motherwell have got, you know, as you calls them, a gang and the right and the correct way, you know what I mean? Because they're all there for each other, they all fight, you know, they use their strengths. Obviously Celtic, you know, we know what they've got, so I think it makes for a cracker. Obviously when Brendan came in almost nearly 2 years ago now, you know, I know we've still got a couple of games to go left in the season, but you know, we've been only beat twice so far in 2 full seasons of football. We've won, you know 5 trophies in a row. We're going for back-to-back trebles, and obviously a lot of these players, they inherited after Ronnie Dyla. And I think what it is with Celtic, obviously, you know, the weekend game maybe showed up as well. It's no the player, it's no who you are, it's no how much you cost. I think it's the mentality that's getting installed at Parkhead, because you're talking about boys like Kieran Tierney and obviously McGregor. You know, these are young boys, but they've got that, even so young, they've got this mentality that we're going to win, you know, we're better, it doesn't matter what you do, you know, we're going to win. And that comes, obviously, that's coming from Brendan. And, you know, we can only do what we do. Rangers have got their troubles, I'm not going to talk about that. But if you'd have said to me 2 years ago, you know, that you could be looking at back-to-back trebles and another bit of history, you'd have been like, wow, you know what I mean? And that is, sometimes you've got to stop and think that, you know, this is really happening.
I think it's great to have, you know, that domestic success and the style of football as well. I think that looks really important to Celtic fans. And I think Brendan Rodgers has done a phenomenal job. And, you know, you mentioned some of the players there. And, you know, I've got to give a wee bit of credit to Ronnie Dyla. Ronnie Dyla put these guys in the team, you know, and Brendan Rodgers take them to the next level. There's no question about that. But if he doesn't maybe give them, you know, trust them to start with, you know, Brendan might not be aware of them. Or it takes him a little bit longer to become aware. But I think that the test for Celtic now, because they're so far ahead domestically, is European football. And that's, as I said, you can have that experience I've had the last couple of years has to start to improve. Very, very difficult, because the gulf again and quality of the top teams in Europe is growing and growing. But I think that that'll be, I think, in his train of thought now. I mean, Celtic can literally play two teams in Scottish football in one. You know, they've got 22 players there. You know, you could pick any one of those 22, and I think they're good enough to win the league in Scotland. But what they need is one or two players who can make a difference in Europe. And I think that's really, if you're looking at anything to move Celtic forward, I think that's the only area really that they have to try and close a little bit. You know, to try and close that gap between, you know, the very, very top teams in Europe and Celtic progressing further.
Thanks, Dalek and Parkhead. Have you got the easy one?
No,
on
it must be an Arsenal player.
Yeah,
Wenger's team.
We know him in this part of the world as well. From
Van Bronckhorst,
Gio Van Bronckhorst,
Giovanni Van Bronckhorst. Right, two to go. Needless to say, they're not as simple as Van Der. Right. You know, nothing right. Like that. These two are murder. But to be fair, Mark, you thought outside the box quite early on with Ivanovic.
Yeah.
Go along a similar line. What about the situation at the bottom of the table? Because we've spent a lot of time talking about Celtic, Rangers, the race for second, all the rest of it. I don't know if you saw this today, Jim. I know neither of you guys are particularly big on your social media, but Partick Thistle's official Twitter account popped up a tweet, Mark, and it said, here are your nominations for Partick Thistle's Player of the Year. Please vote below. Thomas Cherney, Connor Salmon, Blair Spittle, Chris Erskine. To which Chris Erskine himself, Jim, replies to the official tweet saying, genuinely embarrassed to be nominated for this. With the season we've had, the player of the year for the first team should be scrapped. So that gives a little bit of,
I hope there's no sponsors or event involved or something like that.
Yeah, there actually is, to be fair. There's a sponsor copied in, but we'll skim over that. But listen, that's a little bit of a snapshot into how some of the Thistle players are feeling at the moment.
Well, I think it's good. I think, you know, I said before, he's obviously bitterly disappointed. I also understand that sometimes, listen, you know, you get events at the end of the year when you've not had a good season or the teams have not performed as well. Or, you know, invariably there's one guy that's maybe stuck out. If you're struggled, it's normally the goalkeeper. But, you know, I mean, Chris has obviously got his views and he just thinks that maybe, you know, going along to a night, you know, of a celebration, so to speak, then what do you do if you pick up that award if the team has really been poor? They're in a relegation battle. There's no doubt about it. They play Hamilton at the weekend. It's a massive match. There's no doubt about it. And you know that you know there's only what, 5 games now to try and salvage the season, but I think out those bottom 6, what is it? There's 5 of them still in it. 5 of them still in the mix, or 4 of them still in the mix.
Four
still in the mix. So it is going to be nail biting time for everyone concerned at these clubs, and it's got a huge impact on the clubs if whoever fails.
And that's why we're so much looking forward to the league football getting back underway post-split this weekend, Mark.
Yeah, but it'll be brilliant. You know, the bottom, say it's 2 from 4, then you've got the playoff. And you know, I admire Chris Erskine for his honesty. There might be some people inside the club not overly happy with him, but you know what, if he's feeling embarrassed about it, good on him. And I think something like that, actually, you'll see the part, or hopefully the Partick Thistle fans will respond positively to that for the game on Saturday. Say, well, do you know what? They do realise that they have, you know, there's no hard luck stories or no excuses. They ain't been up to it, but they've still got five games to change it. The beauty of being in the bottom six with the split is it's in their hands. Yeah, all those teams exactly. that are involved in the fight, it's in their own hands to go and do something about it.
Right, two more on the teaser. Eight players with the word Van in their names who've won the English Premier League. We've got Van Bronckhorst, Van Persie, Van der Sar, Ivanovic, Van der Hou, and Van Nistelrooy.
I need clues, Gordon.
Right, one I'm telling you is the most, it's a really bog standard British name. That's the beauty of this one. It's subtle. You don't have to worry about being Dutch, Van, this, that, and the next thing. This is a seriously bog standard English language name. Like, seriously.
No, he's not helping.
He's a centre back, and he's still playing in the league, but not for the team he won it with.
Right.
He won it with one of the Manchester clubs.
Right.
And he's still in the league, but not for one of them.
I'm trying to think. John Lescott.
Yeah. Man United.
Oh, Man United, right? Okay.
And he's now with a team struggling in the English Premier League.
John O'Shea, not John O'Shea.
Similar first name. Well, same first name.
Wes Brown.
No, nope. Go back.
John.
I think your girl is John.
Johnny Evans. Evans. Brilliant.
And I'll be honest with you, this one's murder. Right. Man City. No. Steph Van.
The guy they signed for Italy.
Didn't really.
Italian
football. His career didn't really hit the ground in England.
What was it against Stefan?
Jovetic.
Yeah, Jovetic. That's right.
That was a good question,
Jim Duffy,
man.
Just shaking his head.
That just sums it up.
Right. Thank you to Mark Guidi and Jim Duffy. We'll do it all over again tomorrow night, 6 o'clock for Thursday night's Clyde One Super Scoreboard in the company of Gordon Dalziel and Mark Wilson. And don't go anywhere because Callum Gallagher's up next. He's got songs from Coldplay, Rudimental, and George Ezra as well.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Bet and play and pull a result out of the bag. Please gamble responsibly.